Welcome, everyone, and we are so glad that you're joining us today, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest, Tony Neck. Now, Tony is the principal of the Sound Healing Academy, which has sound healing students and professional practitioners in over 70 countries worldwide. Welcome, Tony.
Oh, thank you, Phyllis. It's great to be here with you and with everybody else, and thank you so much for inviting me onto this series.
Now, you chose the title Integral Sound Healing, From Polyvagal Theory to Practice. So can you tell us a bit about what that means and a little bit about your practice?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a heavy title in a way, but essentially what I thought I would do initially is just to say that integral sound healing, which is what we teach and what we practice, is a heartful form of a healing process that I would say is grounded in science, is inspired by spirit, and is manifested with creativity. Okay, and what I wanted to do today in this talk is to talk more about the science aspect of that. But I thought that's where the polyvagal theory bit comes in. So we can talk a little bit about polyvagal theory and how that relates to the autonomic nervous system and how important that is as a controlling kind of mechanism in our body physiologically and our emotional and mental states and all of that. And then also how sound relates to that and how, and you know, and I can give some tips and techniques about how we can help to balance our autonomic nervous system using some of these insights. So, you know, this is kind of more science-led, you could say, but just for people who are listening in and viewing in, you know, it's just to remember that there are these other aspects. There is the kind of the spirit realm, you could say, that's important here. You know, there is the creative aspect of sound healing as well. It's just that we're not going to be focusing on those so much today.
Beautiful. Well, I've always been very interested in, and you see so much information now regarding the vagus nerve and the challenges that you can cause and, you know, how to stimulate it and all of that. So I'm curious then if you would share some of the basic science of the autonomic nervous system and the polyvagal theory with us.
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Just for
a few minutes. I mean, you know, it's a massive subject and we could spend hours talking about this. And so I know we can't really dive into it in too much depth. But essentially, you know, there's a kind of a classic view of the autonomic nervous system, which has been around in the medical schools and is still taught in the medical schools today, which regards the autonomic nervous system as being, you know, which is correct, really. It's not like it's wrong. It's just that maybe the polyvagal theory has come in as something a bit more new in the last sort of 20 years, which is kind of updating it and resetting it a bit. And so the classic view is that, yes, we have this nervous system, and the autonomic nervous system is part of our general nervous system. And there are these two main branches. There's the sympathetic branch and the parasympathetic branch. And these are nerves that essentially come out, you know, from the back of our heads, essentially, from the brain stem, and connect up with other nerves in our face and in our head and so on. And then go down the spine. That's primarily the sympathetic nervous system. And then the parasympathetic, it comes out, you know, from the brain stem out as a vagus nerve, and then it goes down into the body, and that connects with our heart. And the spinal sympathetic nerves also connect with the heart. And then they also kind of go down further and then connect up with the other organs in our body, like in the digestive system and so on. And so what happens is that this autonomic nervous system is really, it's like a controlling mechanism physiologically, which affects our emotions and mental state as well. And it's designed to help us to adjust to the stimuli that come in, both external and internal. So if we see something or hear something, you know, it's going to affect us. It affects our nervous system. And there's this continual, ideally, this continual switching and regulation of what happens there with these different parts of the autonomic nervous system. And it all happens subconsciously. You know, we're not aware of it. It just kind of does it. So what we understand is that if somebody goes into a stressful situation or it just arises, then this kind of the sympathetic part of the nervous system kind of switches on, and then we enter into what's commonly called the flight or fight mode, and then we get ready to run or we get ready to fight kind of thing, and all the organs and everything kind of, you know, are either switched on or switched off to enable that to happen. And that's fine. You know, we need to have that kind of regulation sometimes. You know, if you're out in the street, you get an attack, you need to be able to do something. So that's great. The problem is that when we, and often and this is the case for a lot of people, is that we're living with chronic stress conditions. You know, we're already, you know, stressful. There's so much going on. It could be in your private life, you know, your relationship, it could be financial concerns. It could be something to do with a pandemic, you know, whatever it might be. It's like there's a stress, and so people are living with chronic stress. And what happens is that that fight or flight mechanism gets kind of switched on, and it's not switched off. And so we get into this chronic state. And then that has now been shown to be linked up to so many different health challenges that people face, common health challenges. I think it was the Benson Henry Institute at the Massachusetts General Hospital have a statement that says that up to 90% of visits to physicians, you know, are linked to stress in some way. You know, that's an incredible thing. And so if we can find ways to deal with that stress in a way that doesn't rely on pharmaceutical intervention, let's say, or surgical intervention, so using natural methods and using sound, you know, then we can help people to deal with these kind of chronic health challenges, physical, mental, emotional, and so on. And so that's really where we're coming from. And so what we've done, essentially, is that we've been looking at this now for some time and trying to find a way to actually measure whether the kind of sound interventions that we can do actually have any effect. You know, are they beneficial? And of course, we haven't got the funding to be able to do a massive kind of trial, you know, randomized control and all of that kind of stuff that would, you know, enable us to get published in peer-reviewed journals and all that kind of thing. You know, we would need to have millions of dollars to do that, and we haven't got that. But what we have been doing in our own kind of quiet way is working with a software app, essentially, that is loaded up onto an iPad, and it's called ANS Analysis. Of course, I just need to open it up, and then you can see it. But anyway, I'm not going to demonstrate it just now, but it comes loaded up like that, and essentially it links up through Bluetooth with a heart monitor that people kind of strap on under the clothes. And then this enables what's going on in the heart to be monitored. And essentially, what it's looking at is heart rate variability. So this is the beat-to-beat variability of the heart. And like I said earlier, because you've got the nerves from the parasympathetic and the sympathetic both kind of interacting with the heart, it enables, through algorithms and so on, to work out what is happening in both the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. And it creates these really neat charts that you can show, it can use for like research, but you could show to your clients or your patients or whatever, where they are right now. And then it also enables you to, say, do an intervention with sound techniques and then look at the effect. So you can do a before and after kind of comparison. And so that's the kind of thing that we've been doing. And what we're seeing is that, yes, lots of people are coming in with this sympathetic, switched on, you know, chronic stress, essentially. And then we do the techniques and the interventions with the sound. And then, you know, we've got some charts, actually, that we could show. So the first chart, the first image, actually, that is just coming up, it shows that the red bar is this is in the typical dysfunctional kind of setup, is the red bar is raised and the blue bar, which represents the parasympathetic, is depressed. And so that's showing you that the sympathetic is switched on. Now, when we do the sound intervention, what happens is that you get more regulation and the red bar comes down and the blue bar comes up and it all sits nicely in this nice balanced green zone in the middle. And that's what the next chart shows, all right? And so what we're finding is that certain types of sound interventions are really effective at doing that. And it can happen like in half an hour, you know? You can really shift that. And then, of course, you can use this same kind of process so that if a client comes back like a week later or something, you could see where they are. You can give them practices to do at home and they can kind of work on this on their own. So that's like the classic view. So then we've got the polyvagal view that comes in on top of that. So I don't know, if shall I dive into that now or?
Yeah, I was going to ask too if you could just note, you were talking about sound interventions. And so I'm curious with all that, maybe before you dive into the next thing.
Yeah.
Is what type of sound interventions are you speaking of?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I mean, in a way, it kind of relates to the polyvagal theory, because the polyvagal theory, just like you said earlier, is linked in highly into what's going on with the vagus nerve, right? The polyvagal theory developed by Dr. Stephen Porges, PhD, in the 1990s, you know, is kind of saying something different. It's saying that actually, by working with the vagus nerve, that we can directly not only switch off this spinal sympathetic kind of thing that's locked on in this kind of chronic state. Mm-hmm. But also what happens, you see, sometimes is that when people live in this chronic state of stress, it's something kind of switches over. And this could also be triggered by trauma, maybe childhood trauma or other things like that. But people can get switched off. They can get into what he calls like freeze state. And in that, you know, you've got a depression, you've got lack of social engagement, you've got a kind of chronic fatigue could be in there, all of these kind of things. And so by working with the vagus nerve, you can not only switch off the, you know, the chronic stress kind of sympathetic, spinal sympathetic thing, but you can also switch off this freeze and actually free people up in a way to come good and get involved in social interaction and all that again, that, you know, that's the spice of life, isn't it? So the kind of techniques that we can use are kind of in the line of what they call a vagal break. So the vagus nerve is used as a focus, and that creates a break either on the spinal kind of switched on or the freeze switched off. And so the sort of thing that we can do, for example, is just with a tuning fork, all right? So this is what we call a weighted tuning fork. It's 128 hertz. And so the vagus nerve, it comes out, you know, from the back of the head, and then it comes down what's called this sternocleidal mastoid muscle here, just behind that. And so what you can do, you know, you can do this for yourself, but of course a practitioner can do this really nicely, is that you can kind of trace it down from below your ear. I don't know if you can see that, but there's like this muscle sticking out there. Then you trace it down below the ear and you find this point on that muscle, and that's where you want to put the tuning fork, right? And that's directly now on the vagus nerve, and it's on both sides, all right? So just by tapping that, putting it here, holding it, you are now tonifying the vagus nerve, or I am. and so you do this just a few times, like there, and then you do it on the other side, and it's like really simple. You know, one of these things is not very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just do that, and it has an amazing effect. This is what we've been finding, all right? And in fact, there is a little, you know how you can get little devices that you connect to the heart that enable you, like if you've got a heart irregularities, it kind of smooths it all out, and it's like a little thing with a battery and it gets inserted in there and it helps to regulate your heartbeat and things like that. Well, there's also medically, there is a little device like that that gets attached to the vagus nerve, right? And you can have one of these things inserted and kind of act doing this. And essentially, this 128 hertz is what's called a harmonic, a lower harmonic of that device. And so that's why it's really effective, is just that we can use this audible sound, this low frequency vibration, essentially, to have the same effect as this medical device that is just literally clamped onto the vagus nerve. Pretty amazing, huh?
I have heard of that actually.
And oh, you have, right.
It's
yeah.
A little more gruesome the way you're mentioning.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's not as bad as that, really.
But yeah, that's yeah. Fascinating. That really is fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, there's other things you can do as well, but that's one of the. You know, it's not rocket science, a lot of this. If you've got simple. You know, like here we have, you probably come across these sort of things. It's like a chime. You know, it's just got a lovely combination of notes that's very calming. That's going to help, you know, just to calm the whole thing down and do that. And you can also bring in Tibetan bowls. I mean, I can see you've got some there behind you, so you're obviously into all this, but you could use what's called the perfect fifth as a combination of notes. So for example, here we've got two bowls. One is an A and the other one's a D, so you've got a D and A bowl. and so, you know, if you play these together, obviously it's a bit tricky on just right now, but I can create the sound here. I just put it on my knees, basically on one. Mm-hmm. And that creates what's called a perfect fifth, which in musical terms is one of the most harmonious kind of combinations of two notes that you can get. And so that's a very calming influence as well. Mm-hmm. And so you can play these for yourself, you can play them for your clients and so on, all of that as well. You know, so there's quite a lot you can do. You can also do this humming. You know, humming is really great for tonifying the vagus nerve, because it's kind of, you know, your everything to do with your voice production is so close to the vagus nerves there, and it kind of all the vibrations just spread out and start to tonify it in that way. So just a simple you know, just for a few minutes. So this is all kind of stuff that people can do for themselves, you know, and it can make a real difference in your life.
It's wonderful to that you can provide some simple things that people can just do, you know, really on their own.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, I really believe that we've all got the capacity, because ultimately all healing is self-healing. Whatever the intervention is, you know, it's all designed to get your body back into shape again, so that, you know, and that is done by your body, for your body. All right. And so whether it's drugs or, you know, like pharmaceutical interventions or whatever, you know, it's all designed to get your body working better. All right. And ultimately, it's all about self-healing. And so with the sound interventions that we do, you know, we really stress that this is something, the more people engage in this directly for themselves, you know, the better it is, you know, and we can all do this for ourselves. You know, so, you know, sometimes it's difficult to handle it on your own. You know, sometimes it's really good to go to a qualified practitioner, somebody who is trained really well and understands what's going on. And I guess that's what we're doing as the Sound Healing Academy, is that we're providing this really world-class, top-quality professional training in sound healing. And, you know, and it takes quite a long time, because people have to do workbooks, they have to do case studies, they have to do all kinds, they have to do practical exams, they have to do a lot over a long period of time to prove that they've got the knowledge and the skills and the expertise and the confidence to be able to do and handle this properly with, mm-hmm. with clients. And so, you know, see, one of the things about polyvagal theory that Stephen Porges is really majors on, and also the other people who worked with him now, because there's many people now in psychotherapy and psychiatry and body work and social work and all of that, you know, who are really onto this and proving its effectiveness. But one of the key things that he says is that he says safety is the therapy, safety is the healing. For a lot of people, you know, they're living in fear, right? And the fear has this negative effect, this imbalancing effect on our autonomic nervous system. And it creates, as part of what creates all these chronic health challenges. And so one of the prime things that we really need is to let go of that fear and to feel more safe, right? And You know, it's quite hard sometimes just to do that on your own. You know, it's like, you know that you've got this fear pattern going on and you kind of know what you should be doing to get rid of it and all of that. But somehow it's quite difficult on your own. So actually going to be with somebody who understands that and can create and hold a really safe kind of space for you and can nurture you in a heartfelt way and to do this kind of gentle interventions, you know, that's appropriate to your condition, you know, that's really helpful sometimes.
Well, let's take that little bit of deeper dive into the polyvagal theory and, you know, how that is relevant to sound healing.
Sure. Okay. So polyvagal theory, as developed by Dr. Stephen Porges and then also now by some of the clinicians and others who've been working with him now over the past 20 years, is saying that there are really these three kind of levels that are important. So the top level, which is the newest form of development in the autonomic nervous system, because what Stephen Porges did was to take an evolutionary biological approach to the autonomic nervous system. So what he's been tracking is the evolution of the autonomic nervous system in mammals over long periods of time. And what he's pointing to, or what he's pointed to, is that there is now this more recent evolution in our autonomic nervous system that is closely associated with the humans, you know, the human beings like us. And so, you know, we're a bit different in that way from, you know, other forms of mammals. And that this newest form of evolution of the autonomic nervous system is very much about social engagement. It's about all the cues that are linked in automatically that seem to happen, you know, all the facial kind of nerves that get involved with the facial expressions we make, you know, the beautiful smiles that you've got there and all of that. You know, it's like, that's really important for us as human beings. This is nonverbal communication. I mean, I haven't got the statistics to hand, but you probably know that everyone knows is that, isn't it the case they say that, you know, if you meet someone new, within like 30 seconds or something, you know, you kind of get a sense of whether you like them or not. And you might not even have said anything to them in that time. It's like there's all of this stuff going on that is below our awareness. And it's all kind of getting picked up through our autonomic nervous system. This is all about the social engagement part of that, that is relatively, in terms of evolutionary biology, quite new. And this is ultimately linked to the vagus nerve. This is why, but it's called the polyvagal theory. Poly means many, okay? And vagal relates to the vagus nerve. So what he's saying actually is that there's not actually just one vagus nerve circuit. There's actually more than one, all right? And he distinguishes primarily two vagus nerve circuits. So you've got what he calls the ventral vagal circuit, which is essentially kind of down to your abdominal area. You can't quite see it. I mean, I could stand up a little bit, but you know, it's down below your heart. And is the vagus nerve we've been talking about here that innervates and connects in with the heart as an organ. But then you've also got what he calls the dorsal vagal circuit, which is all the organs below the abdominal, you know, the abdominal area. So it's all the digestive ones, for example. And these, he's saying, are actually two separate circuits. They're connected in the brain, but they actually come out in different points, you know, in the brainstem, all right? And they serve different functions. Now, the dorsal vagal circuit, the one that's below the abdominal, the abdomen, is the one that kind of gets locked on in this freeze state, okay? And where, you know, you're shut down, you're not engaging in life, in with people, with other people so easily, you're kind of switched off in that sense. And it's often as a result of a trauma, which creates the fear. And people have got these triggers that kind of put them back in that fear state. And they might have been in a state where they've tried to run or they've tried to fight or whatever, and they've been kind of stressed and all that. But like I said, something switched that off and they're now in this free state. That's all to do with really what he calls a highly active dorsal vagal circuit, mm-hmm. right? The sympathetic one is the kind of the standard one that relates to the heart and so on. That's also the fight or flight thing. That can also get stuck on. But what he's saying is that this other ventral vagal circuit, which is the upper one, all right, with the one that we were talking about here, is the one that has the capacity to influence what's happening both with the spinal one, the sympathetic one, and this dorsal vagal one, the lower dorsal circuit. So by applying these techniques to create this vagal break, mm-hmm. you can have an effect on these two other aspects of the autonomic nervous system. So it's not like the classic sympathetic, parasympathetic kind of thing. It's related to that, but it's an evolution of that. It's got these three kind of different ways of looking at it. But the vagus, this upper ventral vagus circuit, is so significant because when that is then tonified, and that's what we can do with sound, like we were just talking about some of these techniques, mm-hmm. is that can enable people to relax, you know, if they're really wired up. It can also enable people to unfreeze and to come out into the world again. And both of those have the effect of being able to engage more easily in life and with other people and with the natural flow and ebb of the great mystery of life that we have and that we live in. You know, we can flow more easily with, you know, that sense of oneness, ultimately, and peace. That is our natural state.
Now, if someone is to go to a graduate of your program, or say, or to come to you as a client or a patient, then what is the format of a session for that, to kind of figure out how it is that you are going to help that individual with the challenges that they're experiencing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a really great question. So, you know, I think we have to say that there are these two primary ways that we can work. One is working one-on-one with people, you know, as a kind of sound healing practitioner and a client. The other one is working in groups. So that would be what we, you know, generally people call sound baths or something like that. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, what we do is that we've developed a method, you could say, which is really at the core of what we mean by integral sound healing, right, is that we have a method that is, it's not a linear kind of step thing, it's a dynamic interacting field, but there are certain key elements within that we pay attention to, and that if not in every session, in every sequence of sessions. So if you've got, say, you know, four or six sessions, you want to make sure that all of these elements are covered, because by doing that, you know, the thing's going to be effective. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, there are different aspects to this. And of course, you know, we spend a long time teaching all of this and can't go into it in too much depth just now. But, you know, the first step in this process is all about connection. Okay, and that relates to that very thing that Stephen Porges was saying is absolutely fundamental, is that safety is the healing. Just safe, feeling safe and connected is the most important thing. So what we would teach then as part of that, when somebody comes in the door, so to speak, let's say in a one-on-one session, is that we would say, okay, we need to be aware of their body language as they come in. Right? Are they coming in like really sort of, you know, like wired and kind of, yeah, let's get on with it? Or are they coming in, you know, really like this and their energy's withdrawn and maybe they're not really, you know, wanting to look at you? And we need to respect that, okay? And so actually having direct eye-to-eye contact and sitting opposite each other and kind of engaging in lots of conversation at the start might not be appropriate at all, right? Mm-hmm. And so it might be that actually you just have, you know, casual glances at your client, because this is what helps to make that person feel safe. And it might be that you don't do a lot of talking with them initially. That might come later as they engage more. This is people in the free state, right? People who are switched off. So this is people with autism, for example, which could be kids or adults, you know, as or you know, in the autistic spectrum. And so, you know, and then it's like, okay, so why don't we just play some sounds? You know, just some gentle sounds. See what you like. You know, you can give me a little nod or put your thumb up or something. Let me know, you know, what you're liking, what you're not liking. You know, let's just play around here a little bit and experiment. Okay. And so that would be a kind of an approach to get started with some people. But then you might get other people. So it's very much individually based. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that the way we teach people and the way I would operate is not like a one-size-fits-all thing. You know, it's like we need to be sensitive right from the moment, you know, we start engaging with people as to what their state is, right? And then we then develop a whole series of ways of working that's appropriate to them. You see, the standard way people think about sound healing, if you're going one-on-one, is that you arrive, you have a chat, you lie down on the therapy couch, and you have all this person play all these sounds around you, and you get spaced out, and you have a wonderful time, you know, and then you get up, and you go, yeah, that's great, thanks very much, see you next week. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not necessarily the best thing for everyone. You know, with some people, it's actually better if we learn from, you know, the music therapists, who are probably even more highly trained than we would teach people. But their kind of main method of working is to actually work with musical instruments and your voice to actually engage with people in an appropriate way and get them playing the drum, get them doing a little bit of humming, get them tapping a bowl, this kind of thing, and getting them to start to wake up their energy and to kind of come out of this free state and just to have a bit of fun, you know. And so with people who, you know, who are living, you know, with autism, it's like, that's really great. Or people who've had a stroke, you know, and they're paralyzed, you know, down one side of their body. It's like, actually giving them something that they can do, you know, just to tap and create some sound and be kind of engaging, it starts to get the cognitive connections going. It starts to get the joy flowing, you know, and that's completely different from just turning up and lying down on the couch and just, you know. So it's a dynamic process. That's the point. It's an individual dynamic process. And we need to be grounded in science. We need to be inspired by our spirit, essentially, and we need to allow our creativity to flow, all right, to manifest the sounds that are appropriate for each person or for each group of people if you're dealing with that, right?
beautiful. So Tony, do you have any additional tips or techniques that people can use to improve their health and wellness that are, you know, within the sound healing realm?
Yeah, right. Okay, so, you know, it does depend a lot on who you are and what your condition is and what your state is. But I would say that there is there's an interplay between, you know, the sounds that we can create with our voice and also our breathing, you know, our whole kind of breathing mechanism. You know, there's a big interplay there. It's very difficult to do any singing or chanting or toning, you know, vocal toning without breath. You know, normally it's done, you breathe in and then you go, ah, you know, and it comes out that way. So it's like there's a really strong connection there with the breathing. So what I would say is that along with the sounds, and I think this is really important, is that you know, it's important to have an awareness of your breathing. And some people's breathing is quite shallow and fast and so on. So just taking in these deep breaths is really important. And I just find that, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, however long people have got, of just taking in a deep breath, and just allowing a sound to come out. You know, you don't have to be a singer. You know, if you can talk, you know, you can do vocal toning. You can do something to help yourself. And so, you know, most people can talk. And so most people can help themselves with their voice in this way. And I would say, you know, you take in the deep breath, and then on the out breath, you just let a sound out. You see, we make natural sounds that are healing all the time. You know, if you cry, you know, then that's the sound. You know, that is healing. You know, isn't it great? You know, I don't know. It's like I just recently, a cat died of ours. You know, it's like this was a, you know, it's like a member of the family, you know, passing over. And it was really sad. And I was actually with her. Unfortunately, it happened in the last few hours of her life, and, you know, holding her while she was going through that process. And so, you know, when she actually passed over, it was like, I just felt really sad. And so just the tears come, the kind of you know, and all the wailing and everything, you know, it just comes out. It's like natural sounds. It's like the sounds of laughter is the sound of joy. You know, we are making natural sounds all the time. And so I really would like just encourage people to just become aware anyway of the natural sounds that you make in your daily life, not just talking, but all these other things, and just kind of listen to them, and then, you know, and just be aware that actually, yeah, you know, we can do this. We can actually just allow those sounds to come through at any time, just for a couple of minutes while you're in the shower or something, you know. It's like, no problem. It's really good to do that.
Well, beautiful. Very simple things, too. I think it's really important to share these things that are just so simple, and you really don't need to go out and buy anything. You don't really need to have background knowledge to be able to do these very simple things for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's self-care, so.
It's self-care, isn't it? You know, and of course there's a lot more. You know, with this whole vagal break thing, I could just give you one more tip that is very quick and easy, and it can incorporate a sound, but it doesn't need to. It's like, it's talk about you just interlock your fingers like this, you put them behind your head. The idea is that, I mean, I'm going to cut this short because there's quite a lot more you could say about it. But basically, all you do is you're not doing, like in yoga, a whole kind of like spinal twist. You're just going to move your head first to the right. And as you do that, you allow your eyes to go all the way to the right, just comfortable as whatever, you know, you feel like. Just, it's just a comfortable movement with the eyes going there. And of course, you could breathe out and do that. And then you could breathe in and come to the front. And then you breathe out and you go the other way. So as you're breathing out, you could also release a sound. You could go, And then you come back to the front again. And now this time you do it again. But this time you might want to stay there just for like 30 seconds or something. And this is where actually, if you do bring in a sound or release a sound that is like, you know, like a releasing, comforting, relaxing sound, like, oh, like a sigh, like, oh, then you're really creating this vagal break. And you do that on the other side as well. And it's like it just frees up tension in your neck and your shoulders. I don't know if you even got a sense of that just from what you did. It's like, you know, that's a wonderful little exercise that you could do anywhere, really. And it creates this vagal break, you know. So whether you're stressed out and kind of uptight, and, you know, whether you're kind of in that freeze state and locked down, you know, it's going to help you.
Really, I actually do feel a difference. I made a sound on this side. And yeah. I do. It feels much more clear on this side.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So you did a sound on one side and not on the other. Hey, that was a good experiment. Yeah, that's really good.
So do you have, it's probably a good time then to just ask if you have anything you'd like to quickly share about upcoming events, programs, workshops that you have going on?
Whew. Yeah, you know, it's like we've got teachers all over the world. I imagine, you know, people who are viewing this series are all over the world, really. And so, you know, we have our teachers in the US, in the UK, in Australia, other places. We also have a whole lot of different programs online that people can access at any time. I think what we're going to do actually is we have a special program on sound healing and the autonomic nervous system that goes into all of this in more depth. So for people who are really interested, I think we're going to do a special offer on that in August. So by the end of August, if you go onto our website, which is academyofsoundhealing.com, then and you just look for that under online courses, you'll find it there. There's a special offer. You can get this really cheap there, and you can dive into this in even more depth. I think that would be really helpful for some people who want to kind of explore this in more depth. You know, we've got so much going on all over the world. It's kind of difficult to really pick out anything, but I think that would be a good thing for people. And so we'll make sure that's all set up for everyone.
Beautiful. Well, it has been such a wonderful time. This has always been a dear subject to my heart, too. So I'm very interested in learning more about it just from hearing you speak. So it was such a pleasure having you join us today and share. And I want to thank all of our listeners for coming and joining us today as well and being part of this beautiful session. Thank you so much, Phyllis.
It's been a real pleasure being with you and sharing in this way. It's been a real delight. And thank you so much for inviting me. I'm delighted to have been here. And hopefully this has been of helpful and interest to some people.